Good afternoon and welcome once again to Stage Talk, KSKA's weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt, your host once again. Glad to have you here on this Friday afternoon. And remember, for old episodes of Stage Talk, you can always go to alaskapublic.org and download those episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast, so please do that so you don't miss a single episode of Stage Talk and find out what's going on in the performing arts in our area. Well, today, our guests are from UAA Department of Theater and Dance. There's a big mystery about the show they're doing over there. Ha ha, bad joke. It's Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, one of those classic murder mystery shows. My guests today are the director of the show, Dr. Brian Cook, who is assistant professor of theater. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you so much.
We also have two of the actors. We have Lisa Marie Castro, who's playing the part of Vera Claythorne. Welcome to the show, Lisa Marie.
Hi, thank you.
We also have Isaac Coppola, who's playing... I got your name wrong again. I knew I was going to... Coppola.
Doesn't matter.
Who's playing the part of Sir Lawrence Wargrave.
Hey.
Welcome to the show, Isaac.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be back.
Terrific, guys. So, Agatha Christie, And Then There Were None, one of those classic murder mystery plays about... Brian, tell us what it's about. I'm not going to talk for you.
So it's the classic kind of locked room mystery, except in this case, they're locked on an island off the coast of Devon in western England. 10 people come there. They're all, this voice comes over the phonograph telling them that they have all been accused of some crime in their past. And then one by one, they're murdered in sort of pseudo-grisly scenarios based on a children's nursery rhyme. And the rest of them have to, the ones left alive, sort of have to keep figuring out who it is that did it so that they can survive by the end.
And we can't talk about that at all, can
we? No.
it's one of those... throw allegedly in front of everything we say.
It's definitely one of those spoiler alert kind of shows.
It's really difficult to talk about without giving things away. So.
Mm-hmm. It must be, but I remember, Brian, we were on our season preview show. You were talking about trying to do something different with the show than had been done before. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so one of the things we wanted to do was... if you read the novel, she talks about how this house on this cliff is a modern new house. And that's not really referred to in the play. And most of the time when they do the play, it's set in some sort of old-timey Victorian setting. And we try to embrace that new idea, setting it in the 1930s, which is basically when it was written, the novel was written. And so we went with the Art Deco look. And so when you come into the theater, and if people have been to UAA before, they know we have a thrust stage with audience on three sides. Well, we've eliminated one of those three audience sections. So when you come in, the space looks very different than it usually does. And you walk into this very large Art Deco style room. And then, you know, the play, when Agatha Christie adapted it, she had to change the ending. She felt like it was necessary to kind of have a happier ending than the way the book does. And so that we use that ending, but we've also kind of modified that a little bit as well.
I've heard about that, the fact that she felt she needed to change the ending. But I've also heard about some productions not doing that. So even your ending is going to be a mystery unless you go see the play.
Exactly.
And yeah. It performs. This is the last weekend for it. It closes Sunday night, performance Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 5 o'clock. You've already had 1 week of performances. I'm going to toss this up to Lisa Marie or Isaac. Talk about how the shows have been going.
The shows have been going great. We had a preview last Thursday. It was completely full. Opening night was almost as equally full as well. And Saturday and Sunday shows were pretty packed as well. So it's been pretty popular. So.
And Isaac, how hard is it not to tell your friends who done it?
Oh, you know me. No, it wasn't that bad because I like the mystery and stuff. You know, the old Clue movie and everything. I'm all about it. So, I found the restraint within for the sake of the theater.
And one challenge for both of you as actors, not only as Brian mentions, playing this in a different time period, but you're also having to do the accents, correct? The English accents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I enjoy my British television and stuff, but I got used to doing the Cockney accent and stuff all alone. But as a judge, I have to be proper British dialect instead of, I gone to the pub, eh? So I had to kind of unlearn certain aspects because the Cockney one I can kind of just sling into casually, but I had to I had to go back to thinking for acting. Oh, my goodness, right?
And my goodness, maybe this is a university production. You have to think about acting and be trained and that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Lisa Marie, talk about your approach to the accent.
Oh, well, I had taken a dialect class a while back, but I never actually applied it to a production. So when I was cast into this role for Vera Claythorne, it was kind of exciting for me to actually apply it to a show. It wasn't extremely difficult, but there were a lot of little nuances and the like that I had to be careful of. And our dialect coach, Ty Hewitt, he was very, very helpful in guiding us to the right path, so to speak. So,
and of course, at a certain time with it, you also have to, make it your own, right? I mean, you have one of the guidances that Ty gave sort of in the last week or two of rehearsals was, okay, stop thinking so much about changing the vowel sounds and how to meld these words together, and make it your own and, you know, have it be your character's voice rather than something artificially imposed.
Yes. Well, for those just tuning in and wonder what's going on, it's a mystery. We're talking about Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None being performed at UAA in their main stage. Performs again this weekend, 8 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, and Sunday at 5. We're talking with Brian Cook, director, Lisa Marie Castro, who's playing Vera, and Isaac Kumpula, who's playing Sir Lawrence Wargrave. So we are talking about University of Anchorage, Alaska, doing this show. And, you know, educational theater always tries to not only entertain but educate the students and all the people who are involved in the show. Lisa Marie, I understand you were using this show as part of your senior project. Talk about that some more.
So what initially interested me about And Then There Were None when I was trying to decide on what show to do for my thesis was not only was the time that it was written in, there was a lot of notions of women being more demure or nurturing kind of characters. And what interested me about And Then There Were None was the women, the female characters, so Vera Claythorne and Miss Emily Brent and Mrs. Rogers, they're all regular people. Everyone that comes to the island are regular people with regular jobs, but they're all guilty of certain things that happened in their past. So, and that's within the novel. So it just amazed me that Agatha Christie was willing to dwell into this darker aspect of humanity, especially for the female character. She didn't gloss over the fact that women can potentially be killers. So that's what initially interested me. So when I was doing my thesis, I researched not only Agatha Christie's life and the book, I also researched how society has viewed women in the past and how that actually gives female killers kind of a guise to hide under in terms of them not being suspicious or suspected of any crime, violent crime or murder, when really there have been instances in the past where women have killed many people and stuff. So, well, not me, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, there are lines in the play that's where they, you know, the men are sitting around talking about other characters and they say, oh, well, women could never have done this, right? So.
Yeah, and it's within the play, as Brian said. So
you think that because Agatha Christie, a woman, wrote the novel, and then also she wrote the play, too. She didn't leave it to someone else to write the play. She wrote her own play. Do you think that she is putting into this on purpose more women's issues than you might find from, say, a male playwright?
Oh, yeah. The sheer fact that she wasn't afraid of making women into potentially dangerous characters. And I enjoyed that she took this secretary character, and the way the other characters spoke about Vera Claythorne is very telling of what Agatha Christie may have heard of from other, like, real men back then, of how they spoke about women. And, she couldn't possibly do that. That's a woman. You couldn't think she would ever do that.
And of course, she herself, Agatha Christie, defies a lot of categorizations. I mean, according to her website, she's the third best-selling author in world history, right? Mm-hmm. Second only to Shakespeare and the Bible in terms of number of books sold. And so she, I mean, just that status is a totally different different thing for a woman. And, you know, she was this little old lady. Everybody saw pictures of her, and she looked like your grandma, and yet she's writing these ghoulish murders in book after book after book. And, of course, she creates the wonderful character of Miss Marple, you know, certainly one of the few initial female detectives who can really solve a crime in the way that any man could, right? So... so, you know, there's a lot of sort of gender-defying things about her life and the way she wrote.
Well, Brian, often we talk about dramaturg, the role of a dramaturg in a play, and this is not exactly the same kind of a thing, but is Lisa Marie's research feeding into your directing of the play? Has that influenced the directing of the play any?
Oh, I mean, definitely. And, you know, so she and I talked a lot about it. She wrote most of her paper before we started the rehearsal process, and some of that definitely fed into our initial conversations. And also, I mean... one of the things that ended up happening in terms of changing this story was that two of the characters who are traditionally male, we cast as women. And that really does change the final dynamic because the gender balance is different than what it usually is at the end. Mm-hmm. And so some of the conversations resonate very differently as a result of having more women as part of them. So...
Well, Isaac, coming into this as not being part of the research process, but being an actor in the show, has this affected your approach to your character and perhaps your performance?
Well, I really think it is kind of situated within the play and stuff, as Brian just touched on before, that towards the end of the play, normally it's a very much more lopsided balance. Normally at that point or so, as we get closer to the end, Vera is the only woman left or so. And it's all men, and now that's not the case necessarily. And it was interesting reading through the script the first time for the wonderful amounts of just blatant, it's kind of like talking to grandpa and stuff and everything, of just sexist comments and stuff from the characters and stuff when they're like, one of them likes to make regards and stuff, like, oh, the casual regard of the women to ignore basic facts when he's in a room only with women. When that was originally not in the case in the play. So it certainly led to some humorous situations before we amended certain parts of the script.
Are you saying that Agatha Christie actually laid in these sexist comments into her script, Brian?
Well, absolutely, because you know, I think it's a duty of the artist and stuff to accurately represent the times that they were living in and stuff. You know, the whole like Disney cartoon collections and stuff say, we understand that the depictions made in these cartoons are racist, but to modify them or say they didn't exist would be, you know, it would be unfair to ignore these people's struggles in the past or that this happened at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've managed to spend almost 15 minutes not talking about the play because it's a murder mystery. But some really interesting things came out of our discussion. I want to thank my guest, Brian Cook, Dr. Brian Cook, Assistant Professor of Theater at UAA, Lisa Marie Castro, playing the part of Vera, and Isaac Kumpula, who's playing the part of Sir Lawrence Wargrave in Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, performing This Is the Last Weekend for it over at UAA performances Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 5. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, that's it for this week for Stage Talk. Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.